Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour Big Bang Barbecue. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, New Orleans to New Jersey, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rock and Mortgage Studios when you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process. Rocket, Ken. Hey, appreciate you being with us on a Tuesday. Guess what that means? It's a trash Tuesday. So what's bugging you? What's eating you? Who is annoying you? We'll do that coming up on our side of things in 40 minutes. So staff trashes coming up in 40. We'll take your trashes all morning long. So hit me up with your trashes on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS, or dial me up. Trash lines are open all morning long, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Coming up this morning on the show, Spencer Haywood's going to join us. We had him locked in a couple of weeks ago. He had to reschedule. So we'll finally get around to having Spencer here on the show, which is cool. He's a basketball Hall of Famer and an NBA Finals champion as well, and an Olympian. So he's got a lot of great experience, and he can weigh in on this year's NBA postseason as we put a wrap on that the other night as the Lakers, of course, win their 17th NBA championship. Spencer Haywood will join us coming up in hour number 4. Also today, we'll tackle a big week at the SEC. How about Bama versus Georgia, a top 5 matchup? Although, what does Bama's defense look like, and why does it not look like the traditional dominant Alabama defense is a past? Can UGA exploit it? We'll discuss coming up an hour from now. Also, Dak Prescott, what's his timeline look like after he goes down to that gruesome injury on Sunday? And now the Cowboys turn to Andy Dalton. Arthur Blank speaks out about the firing of Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff. And so what's it going to look like, the next step for the Atlanta Falcons? And last night, we had the NLCS and the ALCS, and the Rays could be on their way to saving America. All of that coming up this morning on the show, plus your morning favorite, like Stunned to a News, This Dated Mothership History, and so much more. Oh, and there's one more thing that I just want to get to coming up in this morning's show. A little over an hour from now, we're going to turn the page back 15 years to Mraz's senior year at West Babylon High School on Long Island, New York. It was this year where Mraz fancied himself as a bright, shining star in the upcoming sports media world. He had written for the school newspaper. He had had charismatic 4 years at West Babylon High, winning all types of friends and admirers with a quick joke here, a funny quip there, and overall just being a guy amongst campus, big man on campus, both literally and figuratively. And at this time, there were senior superlatives, you know, best dressed, best looking, most likely to be famous, all this type of stuff. And there happened to be one category at West Babylon High that you probably did not have. Maybe this was some type of foreshadowing of Mraz's career. They had one senior superlative that I know I didn't have in my high school, and I don't know any high school that's ever had it. Most likely to host a talk show. Now, Mraz, of course, in 2005, you might imagine, of course, in his mind, destined for celebrity and greatness at that point in time. So it was no surprise when the West Babylon High School yearbook staff had collected the votes and he was in the top two. Well, the way that they decided things back in this era, the salad years, this halcyon era of yore at West Babylon High, was they would take the two highest vote getters. The tabs were open for everybody. The votes were open for everybody. Mraz was one of the top two alongside a colleague by the name of Justin Stroker. Well, now that they were in the top two, there was one final vote. Everybody had the top two, and then they would vote again. And much like the 69 Mets, much like one of the greatest Cinderella stories ever, Justin Stroker upset Mraz in one of the most amazing ballots ever. You thought there were historical ramifications on November the 3rd this year. It was nothing compared to the senior superlatives of 2005 West Babylon High. Justin Stroker had pulled out a miraculous win, shocking the Mraz family. It sent Sean into a deep depression, a nosedive that he's never quite recovered from. He views Justin Stroker as his lifelong rival. And so a little bit like Michael Jordan in The Last Dance, finding motivation everywhere. Everybody had wronged him. It's what Mraz looks at every single day, which is why he is a career built on accuracy, built on work ethic, built on a never-let-up attitude. It is why he is just incredibly focused on the goal at hand, is because Justin Stroker, 15 years ago, took his senior superlative. Well, today, 1 hour and 13 minutes from now, Justin Stroker is going to join us here on the show. And we've had Joe Montana, Barry Sanders, some of the heroes of mine growing up, Jerry Rice. We've had Tim Tebow join us on the show. We've had Patrick Mahomes join us on the show. We've had some of the greatest athletes ever join us here on this show. We had Ken Griffey Jr. join us on this show. I don't think I've ever been more nervous and excited for an interview than I am to know that Justin Stroker is going to join us. So please mark it down, everybody. October the 13th, 2020, the DA show hit its apex.
Hennessy.
Let's start with the Monday night football game last night. Saints and Chargers, and the Saints end up with an overtime victory, much needed. I think the Chargers season is kind of going nowhere in terms of a postseason run, but for the Saints, who came into the year with designs on a Super Bowl run, 2-2 last night, they were given everything they could handle by the Chargers. Chargers had jumped out to a 17-point lead, 20-3, and it took the Saints with a big second-half comeback and then a doink field goal attempt at the end of regulation by the Chargers, and then an overtime win as the Saints go down the field, get a field goal, and then we'll stop the Chargers on a fourth down. So the Saints get out of Dodge with a victory. They move to 3-2 on the season. I thought last night for the Saints, some good, some bad. Early on, Drew Brees once again looking very pedestrian. By the second half, things had opened up. The offense had opened up, hit a few big plays. The Alvin Kamara juggling catch is a beauty. when he hits Jared Cooks as well. And the touchdown's a really good throw and read by Drew Brees. He's not over yet. Putting a fork in Drew Brees is so silly. It's so stupid. The guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, he's going to end up retiring with most passing records. Is he Drew Brees of 2009? No, but he's still damn good. And if you give him 60 minutes of football, by and large, we're getting ultimately good Drew Brees performances more than bad Drew Brees performances. There's also the Taysom Hill RPO play that he gets into the end zone. You could only imagine if Sean Payton is completely enamored with Taysom Hill with like three plays a game and most of them for negative yardage. If he actually is going to score a touchdown, forget it. I'm pretty sure Sean Payton's waking up this morning wondering, okay, how do I get Taysom Hill 30 carries a game? So the Saints get the victory. That's an important one for them to remain above 500. I thought, though, the story of the game was Justin Herbert. I did. I thought the story of the game is Justin Herbert because for the Saints, it's an up-and-down effort. And ultimately, they get the W, so you can't say, well, now they're really struggling. The urgency's really on. How many more losses can they afford? They stay in a relatively comfortable spot at 3-2. It's not totally comfortable. It would they'd rather be 5-0 or 4-1, but ultimately, they end up coming out with the W. I thought, though, that the big takeaway last night was that Herbert building up that 20-3 lead. And in the second half, certainly the Saints defense adjusted. But Herbert had some remarkably good throws. And on a national stage, on a Monday night, granted, no fans in attendance, so it's not like you're going to this loud din of a Superdome, but he had some throws that were just really beautiful, and on that final drive where he is trying to get down the field for a game-winning touchdown at the end of regulation, his throw to Mike Williams is gorgeous. Now, Mike Williams makes an incredible catch in traffic, but there's the read, there's the player. You've got to put it on a dot where he can get it and he can get it only, and Williams hauls it in, and it's a tremendous throw and an even better catch. And combine this with a number of deep throws in the game that led to touchdowns or big chunk yards. And one thing that I loved from Justin Herbert that I saw was a willingness to take shots downfield that so rarely young quarterbacks have. What's Justin Herbert's greatest quality? Let's start there. It's where we begin. Your cold open.
In the shotgun. Boy, they're crowding that defensive line. Here they come. Back to pass. He throws a line drive pass. Leaping two and catch by Williams right at midfield on the Fleur Delay. At midfield, he's close to the first down. I don't know that he's got it. Let's see where they spot the ball. The Saints have emptied their bench. They think they have stopped him. And they have. They put it down short. Fourth and seven pass. Brilliant catch by Williams, but short by the length of a football.
It's going to take more than what we're doing right now. It's going to take 30 minutes more of stretching, watching film, weightlifting, little bits that add up in the long run. And I know we're really close. And I know that if we keep working hard and doing the right things, good things will happen. And I love the way this team battles. And I know we're going to stick together, and losing's tough. It always is. But we're going to learn from it. And I know that we're going to stick together through this.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was, of course, Justin Herbert after the game. That was Kevin Harlan on your call on Westwood One. Herbert played well enough to win there, especially by virtue of his numbers. He throws for 264 last night, four touchdowns, no interceptions. And absolutely spread the football around. That incredible throw and catch by Mike Williams. But Keenan Allen had a couple of big throws and catches there as well. Hunter Henry had a couple as well. I mean, I think it was something like nine different Chargers caught passes last night from Herbert. What I was just saying there, to me, is his greatest quality. When you watch young quarterbacks, when you watch rookie quarterbacks, especially in their first month and a half of starting, you will see so many guys that are so scared to make a mistake, because these days in the NFL, coaches beat out of you turning the football over. Every single coach has the same exact spiel to his team. We can't turn the football over. If we turn the football over, we're going to lose. We can't give away possessions, yada, yada, yada. So young quarterbacks get this early. Their position coaches, their coordinators, their head coaches are beating their brains in about turning the football over. And so ultimately, young quarterbacks, where the game is moving a little bit too fast, obviously, will just end up taking underneath stuff all day long. Check down to the running back, something underneath, the quick read, and just get it out. Because you're not then surveying the field, letting things break open, seeing what evolves. You just need to know your read and go there immediately. And oftentimes, the play might be for downfield, but you will immediately go to your check down because you just can't wait for that guy to get open 20 yards downfield because the pass rush is coming after you and you just get skittish. The thing that I love about Justin Herbert, his eyes are downfield first. He's looking for big plays. He doesn't want to check down Charlie. He does not want to do that. And for a young quarterback who is four starts into his career, it's really great to watch. I think the Chargers got a really good player here, a really good quarterback. And I didn't know how he would look this early in his career. I mean, his career at Oregon was up and down at best, and there were some question marks about how much fire, how much composure, how much leadership he was going to show, whether he was worthy of being a top 10 pick in the NFL. His physical attributes were great, but you know, he grew up in Eugene and went to school down the street and didn't become the starter until later in his career, and people kind of wonder, well, is he really a true alpha male, or is he a homebody? And I think everything you've seen from Herbert in his first month of starting is really encouraging. I mean, I think when you hear him speak, he feels like he's got a good head on his shoulders, feels like he's confident. It feels like the locker room respects him, the huddle respects him. And again, from a football standpoint, I know the second half ended up being less effective than the first half. But I mean, look, a rookie quarterback going to New Orleans and playing a good defense like that on the road and throwing four interceptions and no touchdowns and deserving to walk out of there with a win, considering he set up his field goal kicker at the end of the game for a 50-yarder that went off the upright. You know, I have a lot of respect for him, and I think he's going to be a really good one. And I think, to me, the greatest quality is he's not right now nervous and skittish and not want to make a mistake. He's already looking for big plays. He's got aggression. He's got an attitude where he wants to go after the defense because he's confident in his guys and he's confident in himself. But he's doing it without throwing a bunch of interceptions and throwing them out of the game. And his arm is tantalizing. Fun game last night. Come back by the Saints. They get the W, 30-27. Saints move to 3-2. Chargers fall to 1-4. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227 on a Twitter. DA on CBS, hit me up there. When we come back, ALCS 2-0 advantage for the Rays. How they're saving America from the Astros. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
On CBS Sports Radio.
Do you think one day there will be a now entering West Babylon home of Morant?
I think it's in play.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. You should watch us as well. Watch us every single morning. The Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan, pulling levers, pressing buttons, making sure that simulcast hums. You can watch us at watchda.com. You can watch us inside the radio.com app, and you can also watch us on Twitch. If you're a Twitch user, check out the CBS Sports Radio Twitch chat every single morning. We're about an hour away from one of the most important interviews we've ever booked. The guy that beat Merez in senior superlatives for his high school class, most likely to host a talk show. So if you were hoping to wake up this morning and mix in a healthy dose of Mraz's high school years with, it's like the Saved by the Bell college years. If you were looking for a healthy dose of Mraz the high school years, Justin Stroker is going to be a hard-hitting, crucially important interview in the history of the DA show and for you. And I know that there's a lot of attention on this interview. I know you have a lot of the sports media that's tuning in this morning. You know, you have an Andrew Marchand from the New York Post. You have a Richard Deitch from The Athletic. You have a Jimmy Traina from Sports Illustrated. All these sports media mavericks are tuning in because they want to hear a big guest like this. So we'll see how it goes down an hour from now. Justin Stroker, winner of Most Likely to Host a Talk Show 2005, right? Yeah, 2005, West Babylon High. Big.
Stay tuned.
By the way, did any of your school superlatives involve, like, important things, like most likely to save a whale or do anything important? Or was it all best hair and talk show host? Like, were there any, like, really, like, worthwhile superlatives that you wanted to win, or are they all kind of just these vanity pieces?
One was most likely to be a president. We had that.
Okay.
We didn't win that?
No. I was very much out of the running early, very early for that one.
Okay, so before I get to more on the Justin Stroker upcoming expose. before I get 2-hour one-on-one sit down with Justin Stroker.
That's a tease.
Today on DA Conversations.
What was the Roy Firestone interview show?
Oh, what was that called?
Oh, man, it's like that. It's like we have Roy Firestone, like, Profiles or whatever that show is called with Justin Stroker, who's an admin in a hospital. And we want to talk about how 15 years ago he was slightly charismatic and beat Mraz in a meaningless election.
Up close.
Yeah, up close. Right. Yeah.
Good job.
Up close. Nice. So we all know that we hated the Astros after what they did over the last couple of years. We all know that America was waiting for their pound of flesh on the Houston Astros, and yet here they were waltzing through the first two rounds of the playoffs, breezing into the ALCS, and was like, uh-oh, this is really bad. If the Astros end up in the World Series or winning the World Series, there's going to be a lot of people that have it shoved right back down their face because, of course, the Astros are not only, we assume, not cheating right now. They don't have their home field advantage. They're playing in neutral sites. And they've had major departures and injuries. Justin Verlander shut down for the season. Gerrit Cole had left via free agency. This was definitely not as powerful an Astros team as we had seen the last couple of years. And yet they were still in the ALCS. So there was a little bit of a, ha-ha, told you so, take this, America, from the Astros. And the Tampa Bay Rays had to survive the Yankees in a crazy Game 5, a 2-1 victory by the Rays just to extend into the ALCS. And here they are against the Astros. The Astros have the hardware, and the Astros have the payroll, and the Astros have the experience. And the Rays have won the first two games of this series. And my guess is, by and large, unless you live in Houston or Tampa Bay, you don't even know this series is going on. That unless you live in Houston or Tampa Bay, you have probably never even heard of any of the players on the Rays. I mean, it's pretty insane what they're doing and how they're doing it, but they did it again yesterday, where every single time the Rays win, it's some other bizarre, no-name player that steps up and does it. And it happened again yesterday. They jump out to a 3-0 lead in the first inning, and go from there as Charlie Morton, who Mraz once derisively nicknamed Uncle Rufus, ends up getting the W with 5 2/3 of strong work. The Rays win 4-2, and once again, you're going, how the hell are the Rays doing this? And they do it with a 3-run home run from Manny Margot in the first. And then Margot ends up with this insane catch down the right field line. Again, I'm sure you've never heard of Manny Margot. Margot not only hits a 3-run home run to set things up, okay, in the first inning. He drifts to his left playing right field. He's going to the warning, or he's going to the dirt, the outfield dirt that's kind of on the foul line. And it's going to fall over the railing, okay, into foul territory. He goes over the railing. He makes the catch and then tumbles ass over tea kettle into the stairwell that's under there. I mean, it's an incredible catch. And this is the same guy that just hit the home run. Every single game, it's somebody else and it's some other no-name guy that steps up and has just a big moment. And it is so insane and so crazy that the Rays are now 2 wins away from the World Series. They lead 2-0 in this ALCS. And they have a $28 million payroll. They are almost in the World Series. They're halfway to a World Series. And their owner spends as much as the teams that are trying to lose. You've got teams at the very bottom that are saying, we're going to rip up payroll. We don't want to pay anything. We just want to pay minor leaguers. We're trying to lose because we're going to try to stack the farm system, what have you. We are actively not trying to compete. And these are the teams that the owners like Scott Boras, or the agents rather like Scott Boras, are absolutely inflamed by. The owners that are trying not to lose. They're trying to lose, rather. They're trying not to be competitive. And the Rays spend as much money as those teams. They are third to last in payroll in Major League Baseball. And look at who they are going up against. The Yankees, who have nearly $100 million more in payroll, and now the Astros, who are a star-studded cast as well, and they just keep doing it. And they're doing it with nobody anybody's ever heard of. I mean, it's just one of the craziest things. And so for baseball, I mean, this is great if you're a Rays fan, because this is your bunch of ragtag misfits. If you guys win the World Series, you will love this team like you've never loved another team, because there's no superstars. You will fall in love and probably already have with every single one of these no-name guys, because they all have a role and a moment. And you will remember all of their moments. You believe me, if you win this World Series, this will feel so good 20 years from now. Because you'll be like, remember when Manny Margot hit that 3-run home run and then fell over the fence? Remember this game? Remember that moment? Remember this home run? You're going to love it. And you also have to love it because Major League Baseball hates it. There's no way baseball wants a $28 million Tampa Bay Rays payroll with not one identifiable player. You know, okay, Blake Snell is probably the somewhat exception. But again, how much of America knows Blake Snell either? Baseball's like, oh, God, no. No. Now, I don't know if they love the idea of the Astros being in the World Series either after, you know, kind of going through the investigation, but at least they know there's a hook there for baseball fans and casual fans. For the Rays, there's nothing, and it's just amazing to watch, and I love watching them, and I just admire their ownership and their front office so much. I mean, go ahead and try to build a playoff team with $28 million. Try to build a .500 team, and now take it a step further, they're the best team in the American League, and they're 2 wins away from the World Series, having just beaten the Yankees and are up 2-0 on the Astros. I mean, Mraz, I know that you hate the Rays, but you have to admire what they're doing.
There's no question. You want me to give you a scorching hot take, and it's coming from a Yankee fan? Margot's catch in real time yesterday was way better than Jeter flying into the stands versus the Red Sox. Where
ooh,
play.
Wow.
If that play is made by any other team with a big fan base or any other player that we've absolutely heard of, we are talking about that catch forever. And unfortunately, unless you're a Rays fan, within 12 months, everybody will forget that Manny Margot absolutely flipped into what looked like the pit of misery. I mean, how deep was that staircase that he fell? It took him almost 20 minutes to climb back up and raise his arm up. That was one of the most incredible baseball plays I've ever seen in my life, that he's able to hold on to that and basically come away with it without a scar. I think I would have called out sick to work for a month if I did that in a softball game. So I found that just absolutely jaw-dropping. There's no doubt about it. And unfortunately, I hate to look this far ahead, but if they win a World Series and you really care, Rays fans, man, you've got to start packing that stadium, because in 3 years, these could be the Montreal Rays real quick, and that'd be a real shame to finally win a ring and then you lose your team.
Margot's catch is insane, and it happens after his three-run home run to lead off the game. They're just outrageous. I mean, every single game, there's just somebody that's more outrageous. AB, how good was Margot's catch? I mean, if there's fans in the stands and it's a normal October, that thing gets played forever.
Yeah, I mean, and thank God, like Sean said, I mean, thank God he was okay. I mean, when it happens, at least for me, I'm watching it and I go, that's a heck of a catch. And I go, how far did he just fall? Like, is he okay?
Yeah, it's like a because deep stairwell.
Yeah, I mean, who designed that?
Yeah, really?
Right away, Brian Anderson's like, that's a big fall over there. And it on second look, it looked less deep of a fall because it just, I think the angle made it look like he fell completely like 20 feet down. But, like, I thought the dude was dead at first. And then I'm like, how do you know you've even caught it? He could be down there picking it back off the ground and no one's actually seeing it. But, I mean, it was ridiculous. I'm not prepared to compare it to the Jeter catch yet. But, I mean, it just was, I mean, it made me audibly gasp live in the moment. Because, and don't forget, second and third, two outs in that inning. If he doesn't make that catch, that and the inning continues.
Good point.
Springer get a hit that completely changes that game from 3-0 to 3-2. So, I mean, it was a monumental play.
Good point. The Astros had 10 hits last night, and the Rays only had 4. And yet, you know, the Rays, it's just their clutch hitting, is that when they need that hit, they get that hit. But they draw walks, they grind pitchers, they have long at-bats, they play all the platoons, they play all the stats, all the sabermetrics. They're incredible. They play great defense. I mean, they have an unbelievable bullpen. Their arms are fantastic. So it's just a fascinating team to watch. Big ups to Bogues today. I don't know if I've ever seen the sweatshirt that you're wearing right now. You are wearing an old school Hawaii Rainbow Warriors hoodie.
Can you guys
hoodie.
Get this?
This is so cool. This is one of the coolest sports logos there are. The old Hawaii Rainbows logo. I think they've gone back to this, but this is what it was back in the 70s and 80s on their helmets. And it has a little UH and then the rainbow coming out of it. And then remember, they just went to just the Warriors in like the June Jones years or the Colt Brennan years. And there was just the H on their helmet. But I think they've gone back to those, if I'm not mistaken. But that is such a badass hoodie.
See, it's funny. I'm wearing it today because of something you said yesterday during Stun to a News when you were saying that you bought like a zip-up off like an Instagram ad. I saw this on Instagram. The company is Home Field Apparel, and it was this sweatshirt. I went, that is just beautiful. And this site has multiple variations of this and this old logo and t-shirts, hoodies, whatever you want, but it's got 50 or 60 colleges, and they add a new one every week. And it, like historic logos, vintage-looking things, current stuff now. It's an amazing site, and this sweatshirt, I love it. I got it like 2 weekends ago. And I put it on today because you put it back into my head that my Instagram purchase actually worked out for me.
I love it. If we're going to go back to Mraz's high school years, let me take it back to my high school years in the mid-90s. I've always loved retro sports gear. But back in the mid-90s, I mean, the internet is in its infancy and nobody is like creating, like you're saying, this new old throwback stuff. So for me, I'm sifting through old Army Navy surplus stores. I'm going to old sporting goods stores that are going out of business. I'm desperately searching like old mall stores that are going out of business, looking for stuff that might have been left over from the 80s. And, you know, I had some great finds, but if I was growing up now and I could get every retro throwback jersey or t-shirt or hoodie ever, I mean, forget it. I would have just, it's an amazing time if you are a sports fan and you love retro stuff. Like Mraz, we just went to Minnesota for the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and that's when you got your North Stars t-shirt, right?
Yes, I have a beautiful North Star shirt. Also, that same year, my wife was in Seattle. She went to Key Arena outside of the store. I have the classic Seattle Supersonics t-shirt. I'm very into it as well. Give me all of it.
And if you're on Instagram and like you follow one of those accounts, you get like 7 different accounts that all are pumping out this awesome vintage sports gear that like every one of them is like this tri-blend, so it looks remarkably comfortable. It's like slightly faded, like everything you just want. You're like, yeah, I'll take 5 of everything here. So we are now about 40-some-odd minutes away from Justin Stroker, so the urgency is palpable here. And AB has our headlines this morning. Mr. Bogues, where do we begin?
We begin with baseball because those Rays need to beat someone in the World Series next week. Right now, the Braves took the first steps towards being their victim last night.
Ball and two strikes offering on the way. That's swung on. That's hit well. Did he sting this one over the left field wall? He did! Austin Riley gives the Braves a ninth inning lead.
As heard on Braves radio, Riley snapping a 1-1 tie with the Dodgers top nine with a 448-foot bomb to left center. Marcelo Zuna added an RBI single. Then Ozzie Albies socked a two-run shot for a 5-1 win over the Dodgers in game one in Arlington. Those Rays, meanwhile, are halfway done with the Astros after that 4-2 win in San Diego. After Manny Margot's offense and defense, Charlie Morton and four relievers got Tampa to the finish line. Game 3 of the ALCS is 5:40 Pacific in San Diego. Game 2 in Texas at 5 Central. Away from the playoffs, the White Sox dumped manager Rick Renteria yesterday despite ending a 12-year playoff drought. USA Today says there is mutual interest with Tony La Russa, who is 76 and hasn't managed since 2011.
That'll get it done.
You've got to be kidding me. We're still digging up the corpse of Tony La Russa?
Well, you want vintage sweatshirts? They want vintage managers.
I mean, Jesus, Sparky Anderson available? What are we doing here?
Where's Art
Howe? Canseco's going to be the bench coach.
Oh, my goodness. That's hysterical. Tony freaking La Russa? What's he been doing for the last 10 years? I mean, I guess maybe 5 years, right? He probably retired five years ago.
No, 2011, the Cardinals won the World Series, and he went home after that. I think since then, he and Dave Stewart basically ran the Diamondbacks into the ground, right?
They're just coming out of that. Yeah. Yeah, so he hasn't managed in 9 seasons. They want to dig him up? Oh, I'm sure that's going to go great.
Let's get to Monday Night Football. Those sweet Chargers at it again. They built a 23 first-half lead in New Orleans. They blew that, but retook a 27-20 lead in the fourth, then blew that, but got themselves in position for a game-winning 50-yard field goal. But Michael Badgley missed that off the right upright as time expired. They finally lost to the Saints in OT, 30-27. My bad, says head coach Anthony Lynn.
Guys are putting themselves in position to win these games, and we're just not finishing the games, okay? And it's not one thing here. I could give you a ton of excuses, but I'm not about excuses. You know, at the end of the day, we just got to get it done, and that's on me.
That's two straight weeks now wasting a 17-point lead. It's a second OT loss this season, four consecutive defeats overall. The Saints, meanwhile, got their second win in a row on a Will Lutz 36-yard field goal and that fourth down stop you heard in the cold open. There is still one game left here in week 5. The Titans hosting the Bills, we assume, at 7 Eastern tonight. Saturday's Vanderbilt-Missouri football game postponed, likely till December 12th, because Vandy doesn't have enough scholarship players thanks to COVID. They played with just 56 scholarship players last weekend and lost to South Carolina 41-7. SEC guidelines require 53 scholarship players to play with specific quotas per position.
Did you see that Baylor has 42 positives? Baylor has 42 positives on their football team and staff. That's like half your entire traveling party.
It's like they're rolling around in it down there.
I mean, wow, geez, that's not easy to get over.
And very quickly, the Vegas Golden Knights signed on the prize of NHL free agency. Former Blues defenseman Alex Pietrangelo, he gets 7 years and $61.6 million. DA, back to you.
Excellent. Thank you, AB. When we return, it's a Trash Tuesday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
DA, I am trashing the pre-COVID awkwardness on when to leave a wake when somebody passes away. You see, last night, unfortunately, I had a family friend's grandparent pass away, and I went to the wake, and the way the funeral homes are operating right now, they give you kind of a card counter because there's only a certain number of people allowed in at a time. What I realized when I left was because they kind of hurry you up if you're not immediate family, is this is the way it should always be. Mm. Everybody knows when you go to these wakes, it's very sad, depressing. You pay your respects to the friend you're going for. You go to the body. And then you kind of just meander and sit around for no reason for a half an hour. And you never know when the right time to leave is. And either way, it's awkward and uncomfortable. Last night, the way this is working now, it's in and out, in and out, in and out. I was in and out of there at 7 minutes, took away all of the awkwardness. If anything remains the same from this COVID pandemic, I hope it's the non-awkwardness on when to leave a wake. Let's shuffle everybody in and out of there.
Trash the pre-COVID wake regulations.
I smell rotten eggs.
Or expectations. Yeah, you're expected to linger when you had the wake before, and now there's no lingering. I'm with you. I like that. I haven't done that in post-COVID world, but I think you're right. The lingering's very awkward. AB, who are you trashing?
DA, I'm trashing me and my Sunday night sleeping habits. This is not the Sunday scaries. I get to bed just fine tonight, but then I keep it for three straight now Monday mornings. I have woken up wide awake around 1:30 or 2 a.m., can't go back to sleep, rolling around, tossing and turning, costing myself 2+ hours of sleep. And bad sleep starting the week is the worst time for bad sleep because there's no catch-up. So I'm trashing me for having bad sleep, setting the tone for bad weeks on Monday mornings.
Trash them.
This must be garbage time.
Yeah, look, with this schedule, you get in a hamster wheel. If you don't set the tone going into the week, you'll play a devastating game of catch-up every single day. And for you, with two kids, and in this situation, I mean, you're behind the eight ball early, folks. You ain't digging out of this until Saturday afternoon.
Can't happen.
Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
I am trashing umbrella makers. I mean, we have had umbrellas for however long it's been, and we still haven't found the umbrella that conquers the wind. Every time, every day, the last few days, I had this great umbrella that I spent a lot of money on. Poof, goes away because of the wind. And the wind is destroying umbrellas, and we haven't figured it out. We figured out all these new phones and all this new technology. How about we get an umbrella that conquers the wind and that we can go outside during a storm and actually be protected? Get them out.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
Thank you.
I've had some version of my trash before, but I just want to restate this. I'm watching TV. I think I'm watching the Monday night game, actually, last night. And one of the commercials for one of these drugs comes on, one of these pharmaceutical drugs, and it's a bunch of people in a Corvette or some type of convertible driving down the highway, breeze in their face, they're laughing, and they are just having the best damn time ever. And you're like, wow, that looks awesome. What is that? I want that experience. It's like sun-kissed day in California. You're just head is out the window. Then they're at like this lake and they jump off the dock holding hands. And you're like, wow, they look like they're having the best time ever. And I'm like, I don't even know what this drug is for, but I'm just like, I wonder what they're not being specific about what it helps, what it's for, what the symptoms are. And I'm like, this looks like such a happy time in these people's lives. I'd like to know more about this drug. I don't even know. I'm curious. What is this for? So I go online to look at it. And the first question on the website is, the drug may cause serious side effects, including infections. It may lower your immune system to fight infections. It may increase your risk of infections. Now, lowering your immunity right now is probably a bad idea. And I'm like, is this slightly irresponsible to have a 30-second commercial where these people are having the best day of their lives? And then if you actually take this drug, you are at risk higher of an infection right now, and it lowers your immunity? That feels like a really bad thing. So I was just reading a little bit more. You know, here's some possible side effects: fever, sweats, chills, weight loss, cough, blood in your mucus. I'm like, now wait a second. I didn't see any of this from the people jumping into the lake. I didn't see any of this when it came to this convertible. It looked like a great day in the sun.
That was before.
And so I am trashing pharmaceutical commercials that are so incredibly irresponsible because this is always par for the course for them. Trash them, PDB.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
We'll take your trashes here on the show. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, huge one in college football in the SEC this weekend. How about Georgia and Bama? Can the Bulldogs exploit the Bama D? We'll talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.